PFT Media.
Celebrating La Revolution with a little bit of Caribbean spice, we head down to Haiti to find out what that independence movement was all about on Half True History. Welcome back to Half True History. And I am, of course, your professor for the evening, Dan P. Half True History, where we take all of the legends of yesterday, merge them with today, and come up with at least a pretty good story for you to get interested in the subject. Always manning the airwaves is our super producer, Chris Crespo.
Hey, bumbaclats, my friends, yeah.
And always at my side, the papa to my baby doc, Pedro Lima.
Oh, I know that one. Yes. I know about baby doc.
Oh, yeah. That's now that's an interesting story, those two, the Duvaliers.
I mean, somebody told me the story about Papa Doc, how he had, well, I'll let you tell the Haitian thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump to it.
Yeah, they're their own crazy story, too. And Papa Doc was actually a byproduct of this revolution that's going to be happening in the early 1800s. So Haitian Revolution is really interesting because it's got a lot of firsts for its time as well.
Like what?
So, well, the Haitian Revolution is not obviously the first revolution from a mother country. You know, America's got it beat by about 20 years. But the Haitian Revolution was originally didn't want to break away from France in the first place.
Like the people didn't want to break away?
Right. It wasn't about breaking away from the country. The revolution was purely social in the beginning.
What do you mean? Like a cultural revolution?
It was more of a cultural revolution. It was more of a class warfare thing than it was trying to break away from France. If, you know, it was up to the original leaders of the Haitian Revolution, they would have stayed a colony.
But was it still like an eat the rich kind of thing?
I mean, eat the rich was definitely on the platter there. And it's a lot of racial stuff and a lot of wealth gap stuff that all piled up into it, really. So to give it a little bit of the background, we've talked about it before when we discussed about Louis XIV. He takes the island from the Spanish and splits it with them. And the western half becomes Saint-Domingue, which is just the French version of saying Santo Domingo.
Mm-hmm. Very creative with the names.
Right. They don't want to confuse anyone, I guess. And for its time, Saint-Domingue is the most lucrative sugar industry in the entire Western Hemisphere. Nothing's beating it right now. It's the wealthiest colony in the world for the Americas. You know, the only thing that's making even comparable money will be later on India making for Great Britain. I mean, that's how much money France was getting from the Haitian sugar trade. And as you could guess, of course, it's a heavy slave labor, heavy slave culture, naturally. But as time went on, there became a different social class, whereas some of the slaves had the chance to either serve in the French army to gain their freedom or could even earn land and freedom in Saint-Domingue as well.
From being a soldier?
From being a soldier, yeah.
Okay.
And they could, and you also had to have the privilege of having lighter skin, though. The darker your skin, the worse off you were socially at that point.
When has that changed? Isn't that wild? Yeah. It's so crazy.
right. The light-skinned Africans get off a little bit easier. So if you're light-skinned, serve in the French army, you definitely have a chance at owning some land in Saint-Domingue and even owning some slaves yourself at a little farm for yourself. And you can actually do pretty well as a middle class, I guess is the best word to say it. So we get into like really three distinct, I mean, there's many subclasses, but the three distinct classes are, of course, the whites on top. And they're known as the Petit Blanc.
And are those like the actual Frenchies that have come over and their kids and whatnot?
Right, exactly. White parents, white children from France, minority white, which is why the Petit Blanc name is there. They're the ones who own most of the land. They're the ones who live up on the hills to avoid, of course, mosquitoes and where the cooler breeze is going. So the wealthier they were, the more elevated that you lived.
There's a light skin, light oxygen, higher.
Yeah.
Can't take the bugs. Can't take the sunlight.
Those mosquitoes in the sugar fields. No, they just... And genetically, it's true. I mean, even as far into the 1900s, we know this during the Spanish-American War. When the American soldiers are in Cuba and Puerto Rico, more of the white soldiers fall to malaria than the black soldiers. And it's just genetically, white genetics cannot handle tropical diseases as well.
Yeah, that was the thing with like all the explorations into Africa, right? All the British explorations, like the thing that ended up stopping them the most from getting into the quote dark content was just like disease.
Right. It was just like it's
bugs.
For the first time ever. Yeah. The Europeans had disease fight them off.
Yeah. Like, how do you like that?
Yeah. So I think the mosquito has killed more white people than anyone else.
Wow. Can we put the mosquito on a flag?
Endangered species list. Gotta keep it, keep using line. All right, so the middle class was known as the gens de color, people of color. And that's where you have your mulattoes, your freed slaves, your middle class. And then, of course, way on the bottom, African slaves. And that was the social structure through Louis XIV's time, 15. And into 16.
And 14, and the French, 14 was the Sun King, right?
Right, the Sun King. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Louis XIV and his great-grandson, Louis XV. Then his son, Louis XVI.
And then that's when all the bills came due, right? On the 16th?
Mm-hmm. And that's when things started to really pile up. And that's where we have the French Revolution on the 16th.
All right.
And that's what sparks the debate in the island. Once the French Revolution happens, the question suddenly becomes, the gens de color are asking, well, does that mean we are now equal to the Petit Blancs? Because there's no more nobility in the French Republic right now. There's no noble class. You can't justify it as the old ways, because the old ways in the mother country aren't there anymore. Now, at this point, the French have not outlawed slavery just yet. They're still keeping slaves in all their colonies in the early French Revolution. We haven't gotten super radical. We're still trying. It's still a moderate majority in the French government that has taken over. So the question, though, is with those gens de color. Well, you said all male property-owning citizens are equal in your thing. Didn't say white. It said all male property owning men are free. And we have property and we are male. Do we not get to have our freedom?
And that's when the clause came out, that little asterisk at the bottom of the contract.
Uh-huh. Well, the Petit Blancs cannot argue legally with the gens de color because the new constitution in 1789 And then in 1791, later on, doesn't specify race. So their plan is, and stop me if you've heard this before, rather than give the colored folks equal rights, they're going to break away from France and try and form their own country.
Okay.
Because when you're rich and white, historically, your choice is, I'd rather start a civil war than let someone be equal to me.
Yeah, tear it all down first.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe I'll be left on top.
Right. So the first part of this revolution is a civil war between the Gens de Color and the Petit Blanc. The Petit Blanc want to break away and start their own country. The Gens de Color want to stay with France and want to have equal rights with the Petit Blanc.
And when they, so the Petit Blanc, they want to do their own thing. They want to say, we're going to be independent, so that they can then say, now we're on top.
Right. They want to they'll rewrite the rules back to the old way if they have their own country.
All right. Gotcha.
Neither of them want slaves free.
I mean, why not? That's their labor. That's their workforce.
That's exactly. That sugar money.
Yep.
That's sugar money.
So then the slaves rebel. And now you've got a three-way battle going on this small part of the island, each with different purposes of what they want the revolution to be.
Yeah. Who has the, are there more, I'm assuming there are more slaves than anyone? Like they have the numbers?
Well, there's the one.
Right. They have the numbers, but they don't have the training or the equipment.
Right. Or the nourishment, probably.
Right.
You're so tired.
I'm sorry?
They're so tired of working on the field.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I got to fight for freedom, but my shift's in like 2 hours.
Yeah, and it's a 12-hour shift. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Petit Blanc start making trades, deals with England and Spain. Exclusive trading rights and everything like that. Because at this time, all of Europe is now against the French Republic because they don't want these democracy ideas spreading all over Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll do anything to take Saint-Domingue away from France because that's going to cut their money, their budget. So the Petit Blanc start dealing with these, you know, I mean, you can say they are betraying their country by going with their natural enemies, and the Petit Blanc are simply going to say, we would rather side with other rich people of our race than have equal rights.
Mm-hmm.
So when does the fun start, Dan?
We have to change administrations in the French Republic first.
Okay.
One of the Gens de Color, though, decides that he wants all people to be equal. He is all people on the island. He is a former slave who became a soldier, and his name is Toussaint Louverture. And he is going to start training the slave army to fight like a French regular army.
Did you say Toussaint Louverture?
Toussaint Louverture.
I was pretty close.
Yeah.
So it sounded like Louis Vuitton.
And if you forget the name, just go to Haiti. He's every other street and every other public school.
All right.
Yeah. He's just all over the place still. So now you got the slave army, which is starting to get a little bit better trained, a little bit better fighting and everything like that. And they start making a deal with Spain. They're like, listen, we'll break away. You just got to say no slavery afterwards, and we'll just be one of your colonies and give you the money. And the Spanish are cool with it.
To the Spanish?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. But for the time being, they agree to this.
Hmm.
So right now you've got the slave army backed by the Spanish, the Gens de Color holding their own, hoping for French involvement, and then the Petit Blanc being helped by the English. And that was the way it was going until everything switches in 1792. The administration of the French Republic has changed, It is now under a radical left faction led by Maximilian Robespierre.
Oh, the guy who the Bane coat, the big fur coat. Did you know that? Did you guys know that Bane in The Dark Knight Rises? He's got that big old fur sheepskin coat thing,
right?
And that's modeled directly off of the French Revolutionary leader Robespierre.
Really? I did not know that he had done that.
Yes, sir. Yeah. If you go, if you just search like the words, if you do Google search Bane, Robespierre, like a whole bunch of articles and stuff pop up about the fashion choice and all that.
That wouldn't surprise me, because Robespierre was known as the Immaculate One in the beginning of his career.
Yeah, and it's a sweet jacket, man. It's an awesome coat. Too bad, you know, where we live, we don't really get to wear stuff like that.
Right. One of the changes that Robespierre decides to do, in addition to chopping off the king's head, is he is going to write a new constitution, a new radical republic, where slavery is now outlawed in the entire French Republic, or in any territory.
Hey, that sounds like a good thing to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very dreamy-like.
Mm-hmm. So the slave army then stops with their Spanish alliance, joins with the Gens de Calar, and defeats the Petit Blanc for mastery over the island.
Okay.
Toussaint Louverture is now the governor general. He writes a constitution declaring that slavery is illegal in the island of Saint-Domingue, but they do not declare independence. They want to be part of the French Republic or of the French Empire.
And what do the French offer?
The French are all for it as long as Maximilian Robespierre is in charge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But unfortunately, when you're a crazy man who chops off the heads of 40,000 people, you become one of those victims all of a sudden.
Yeah, or if you set a bomb underneath Gotham Knights Stadium.
Yep.
Set up a kangaroo court with a scarecrow character, all of a sudden, yeah, you find yourself on the wrong end of that stick.
Mm-hmm. You simply adopted the guillotine.
Yeah. I was born into it. You think your money has power over me?
So the French Revolution, the Republic now switches to a government called the Directory, which is just a complete mess. It's a complete corrupt mess, which means Toussaint Louverture is able to basically govern Saint-Domingue as he wants to. And there's so much red tape and blockage up in France, no one is saying anything for years.
And how does he want to run it? As a benevolent, kind man who's generous to the people?
He really wants to. And he starts doing
sugar packets for everybody.
He does this general forgiveness for the Petit Blancs if they decide to work with everyone, you know, divide up some of the land. And to get the economy going, he starts to establish new contracts, trade contracts with other countries, letting them know, listen.
So this whole thing's going down. Who's manning the sugar fields?
Well, we're kind of in this shared labor model at this point until we can get things going.
So the slaves are still, hey, you're no slaves, but hey, we need you to work the 12-hour shift until we can get a replacement for you.
Right. It's like we're working on it. Hours won't be as long, but we got to maintain what we're maintaining right now.
How about now? Can I leave the field now? HR still is jammed up with paperwork. Give us two more. We'll see what we can do.
Maybe they can offer him stock options.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he does get things going, though. He gets a lot of trade contracts that hadn't been done before and secures a sugar trade deal with the United States of America.
Oh, those scumbags.
Sugar-loving fools in America.
Yep.
And once again, the only reason this happens is just like the Robespierre thing, it just happened to be the right administration at the right time. Because the president of America when he goes to reach out for trade in 1797 is John Adams, who is known for being anti-slavery and an abolitionist.
So he's all for like, hey, this is that slave-free sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes exactly so much better.
It's like the fair trade coffee of the day.
I don't want none of that molasses. Give me some of that free slave sugar.
The free slave white. The free man white stuff.
Mm-hmm. All organic.
Exactly.
It's so uncut, so pure.
This is conflict free sugar for your
conflict,
tea.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Put some of my tea here.
And Adams gets a lot of flack in America for doing it from the southern states because he has acknowledged a slave rebellion and legalized it by establishing trade with this nation.
He legitimized it. He legitimized the overthrowing of that system that they rely on. That's interesting.
That's another first of the Haitian Revolution, is the first successful slave revolt in history.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The American South is like, we like our sugar with our blacks in shackles. No rights. No freedom. Whippings. And good American sugar. Sugar pimps, bro. And it's funny because they don't rape Puerto Rico until 18-something.
1890, 1900-something, yeah, for a full 100 years.
And they really raped that sugar land out there.
Because Spain was exploiting it appropriately, but then America came in and was like, we're turning all of this into sugar plantations and just like wrecked it. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, America was new to the idea of colonies. All they knew about was massacring Native Americans, just taking the land. They didn't understand management.
But that didn't stop them in Puerto Rico in 1890. They still were good at that.
Oh, they showed up with the Navy and were like, we're in charge now.
Yeah,
true.
Okay. They got a boat, I guess. I don't know. I guess so.
Over there.
So things go swimmingly up until 1799, and the French government changes again. And we are now under Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I know that guy.
Mm-hmm. You know, pretty revolutionary dude. Definitely a great commander. Great for the French people. Great for European Jews. Not so much a friend of the blacks.
Well, they were taller.
Yeah.
In Napoleon's defense. So right there and then.
Yeah.
There's problems.
So, yeah. And Napoleon is a Corsican. So he's a typical Italian, which is, you know, racist. So he wants to put slavery back on the island. And it's a huge debate between him and Toussaint Louverture. He says, listen, you've gotten to play boss for a little while. It's cute. I'm going to send my men over. We're going to rewrite your constitution. Some of you can have some freedoms. We'll go back to a little bit better system. But, you know, we're going to bring slavery back. That's the way it has to be.
And that's because they're still, because they wanted this, they're still a part of France, of the French kingdom, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And that's what Toussaint wanted. He was like, listen, we're not trying to break away from you guys. We're giving you all this trade revenue. I've set up new trade. We've started a new industry. The only thing we ask is you let me run the country because I know how the island works. Don't send some, you know, shit from Paris.
Don't send a whitey to run this.
Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're doing. And Napoleon refuses. So in defiance, Toussaint Louverture rewrites the Constitution of Saint-Domingue and adding in more legal measures to make sure that slavery can never be brought back on the island. So now Napoleon's pissed. He sends a battalion of soldiers to take over the island. Louverture stops him. He sends another battalion of soldiers, this time under the command of his nephew. Once again, Louverture stops him.
Okay.
Napoleon's getting pissed, getting real angry. But obviously, he's not going to go across the Atlantic and do it because he's busy fighting all of Europe.
Uh-huh.
So he sends a negotiation team to speak to Toussaint Louverture to discuss terms. Hey, Joe, can you guess what it was?
Listen, don't make me go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I do, everybody's going to be a goddamn slave.
Those are the terms, all or nothing.
Those terms. That's what they were expecting. That's what they were expecting. They go to the meeting and everything, and it turned out to be just a giant trap to capture Toussaint Louverture.
Oh, shit, the move from Braveheart.
Yep, we Bravehearted him.
We're gonna talk terms.
They capture him. They send him to one of their island prisons off the coast of France, where, of course, he's mistreated and dies in prison. This is the
bridge.
Yeah. So this legendary, basically, Caribbean commander who wanted equal rights, wanted to stay with the country, is now gone. And Napoleon believes that this will break the spirit of the Saint-Domingue rebels and will allow France to take back control.
That's what he thinks is going to happen.
That's what he thinks is going to happen.
And of course, that's what it happens. That's the end of the episode, everyone. Bye bye. No, it's not.
Yeah, bye. That's it. Gotcha. So obviously, they don't surrender right away. They just get angrier. And now, since Toussaint Louverture is no longer around, the next in command is Jean-Jacques Dessalines.
Ooh.
Dessalines is not a gens de color. Dessalines has been an angry slave all of his life.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I like him. He sounds like Jean-Claude Van Damme, too.
Mm-hmm. And now we start the second part of the Haitian Revolution.
Nice, the second one.
And this is where it's about breaking away.
Oh, Haitian Revolution 2.
Uh-huh.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. And this time it's all about Kill Whitey.
Yes. Oh, tell me about that one.
They don't leave a single white person alive on the island. Oh.
Wow.
Stringing them up, slaughtering them, just massive chaos and carnage.
They're sending messages.
Uh-huh.
Like Costco in bulk.
And then, to prove a point, the army marches onto Santo Domingo and takes the entire island and frees those slaves.
All right. And that was that's Spain's side?
It was Spain's side, yeah.
Well, it was. Not anymore. Now they freed them.
Yep.
Man.
And you know what the French flag looks like, all right, guys?
The tricolor?
Yeah.
Blue, white, red.
Blue, white, red, right.
Like the three ice cream.
Uh-huh. And you've seen the Haitian flag, right?
It's red and blue.
Why do you think that is, Pedro?
No whites!
Because they cut the white out. Yep. So, and that's where Haiti gets its name, Haiti, because it's from the Tiano word, which means the mountainous area.
Oh, that's what it means? I thought you were going to say the name Haiti means no whites.
No whites. Yeah, no, they wanted to go back to their native roots, so they got like the ancient Tiano saying for the area, the mountainous region, and that was Haiti.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at their flag right now. They have a little white.
Little white was added later, yeah.
Okay.
But before it was, yeah, it was just the red and blue because they cut out all the white.
We don't even want any white cloth on this island. Get it out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Take all the marshmallows and throw them in the toilet. Get them out of here.
Right. Now, with any other nation which has just declared independence, now is the time to start rehabilitating, establishing new connections, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, negotiations with the French are going to be kind of slow, but traditionally other countries will welcome you with open arms because now it's a new thing that they get to start new negotiations, especially for all the sugar in Haiti that they have in the coffee. And here's where racism comes in.
Oh, now. Okay.
Uh-huh. Here's more racism. No country will recognize or trade with Haiti for the next 50 years.
Who started it?
France. And so they go to their buddies, the Americans. But now, the president of America is Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, that guy.
Uh-huh. Slave-owning Thomas Jefferson.
Also, Francophile Thomas Jefferson.
Right. So they're not getting anything out of that.
I don't want none of this free slave sugar.
The French do not recognize the nation of Haiti until the year 1853.
Okay.
The United States does not recognize Haiti until Abraham Lincoln becomes president. And so with no one to trade with, the economy tanks. And with no economy, Dessalines basically has to enslave his people in order to make sure the farms work and survive. So Haiti goes into a strict class system once again because the rest of the world turns its back on them.
That's crazy. Forced into it.
Yeah. And because they just had, all they knew was dictatorship and poverty over and over again throughout the decades. And basically, this is why Haiti is what it is today. Because they were the first black slave nation to rise up, the first Caribbean nation to say, hey, F off European powers.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid the price for it.
So they're the Colin Kaepernick of the whole slave world.
It's a great analogy, yeah.
There we
That's go. A good one.
Then all the countries froze them out. It was the arbitration. We need arbitration for Haiti. That's the hashtag. Hashtag arbitration for Haiti.
And so, it's just been dictator after dictator, corrupt election after corrupt election, because they didn't have time to develop their democracy. They were too busy trying to keep their head above water.
Well, everything was earned through conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And they never got a time that it's like, all right, let's be civilized about this. No, chop, chop.
Right.
Machete.
Oh, and, that's why it was not unheard of when you get people like Papa Doc and Baby Doc coming up in the late 20th century to take over. Was it
Papa Doc who said, don't fuck with my tourist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, I will put you in tires and burn you in the middle of the street.
Yes. Yeah, Papa Doc and his Tonton Macoute did not play very nice. Yeah, he made sure all the white people got to go to his island whenever they wanted to.
And spend money. That's his money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my buddy's Haitian, so he told me that story. I'm like, yo, they should have put that story on 8 Mile.
Oh, yeah. No, there was a special section just for the whites to go and explore and tour. And you basically had to request to be put on the list to be one of the street vendors or entertainers to get those Euro dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was harder to get into than tickets to Hamilton.
Yeah, man. Dude, but that's straight up money. All these tourists are coming.
Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is dance around in a native skirt and eat some fire for a couple of hours, and you basically make what you do in a month in a day.
And it's still amazing, because people don't talk about Haiti. So the only picture of Haiti just being like demolished by that hurricane that happened like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I just figured that's the way it is now, right now.
It's not that much better, because I mean, they've had some decent leaders since then, but, and I haven't looked at the situation in the past, I want to say 4 or 5 years. So I can't really say currently, but it's hard because they're still recovering from the last disaster when the next disaster hits them.
Yeah. There was the earthquake. There was an earthquake and then a hurricane over the course of like 5 years.
Right. And before that, there were riots and coups. And then there were riots and coups right after that. So
it was an earthquake, right? It wasn't a hurricane. It was an earthquake.
And then Katrina came.
Yeah. When they were like years still trying to. Yeah, it was bad. It's a bad mm-hmm. situation.
So it's been, it's heartbreaking. And it says a lot, though, about the Haitian people. Like, as far as like character, being able to keep rebuilding, keeping their heads as above water as much as possible. And for all of the horrible things you hear about Haiti's history, when you hear about its origins and what they came from, it's still so impressive that this country is still even running.
Yeah, we still exist as a country.
Mm-hmm. So, and there you have it, the story of Haiti. Origins there. So enjoy your coffee. Make sure there's lots of sugar in it.
Mm, I do my coffee no sugar.
Mm. Yeah, I cut sugar out a while ago. I just conflict-free or not. You got to get rid of it.
Well, either way, drink it to Toussaint, drink it to Jean-Jacques Dessalines, whatever's your flavor. However black you want your coffee.
Yeah. Even though sometimes you put a little creamer,
and yeah,
it just feels so much free.
Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. This has been Half True History. We'll see you on the next page.
A PFT Media production.